I don't deserve to occupy this place. My early inclinations were not conducive to this. But I am one of the sinners whom the Lord Jesus came to call, and he had mercy on me. So this morning I want to reflect with you on what it meant for the Lord Jesus to make possible sinners to be saved, and for us to receive his mercy. I'd like to begin with Psalm 90 and read the middle portion. Beginning with verse 5. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. And then, just one verse from the first epistle of John. Chapter 2 and the second verse. Where the apostle says of him that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The anger of God is manifest in the mortality of human beings. We don't deserve to live forever as we are, because history has proven that if we were left to our own devices, we would eventually make all of existence the same reality that God, through his grace, will one day confine to the eternal abode of the devil and his followers. Death is the guarantee that the effects of our sin will not permeate forever all of God's creation. Among the books I haven't unpacked since our moving to this country from Colombia is one on the Passion of the Lord Jesus, written and illustrated by a contemporary Dutch artist. He paraphrases the scriptural account of the betrayal, arrest, and trial, and crucifixion of Christ, and accompanies the account with his own paintings of the scenes he depicts. One of the drawings shows Jesus in Gethsemane as the full realization of what lies ahead comes to him. The anguish in the face is so vivid that it seems possible to touch it. When the artist created that example of graphic poetry, he was surely in tune with the mind and heart of God. The Dutch artist understands well that God is angered by the suffering that sin causes. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in human form, experienced all the effects of human and angelic sin. Sin always causes suffering and death. The wages of death is the wages of sin is death, and the Lord experienced these as if the sin that caused them were his own. In his suffering on the cross, the anger of God was directed at him, the sinless God-man, the only sinless person ever to live on earth, by allowing God's anger to be poured out on him. The Lord Jesus Christ made possible the forgiveness of the sin of every human being that has ever lived and ever will live. He also made possible the liberation from the habit and power of sin for everyone. He has made me respectable. Now he is working hard to make me good. That's more difficult. This liberation extends to nature itself, which was victimized by the curse of sin when our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, committed the original act of disobedience to God. One object of this reflection is to try to get beyond the theology of Christ's atonement, his sacrifice, to understand on the feeling level what it meant for the Lord Jesus to die for our sin and the sin of all the world. The true meaning of the atonement is not in its theology, its concepts and ideas, but in the pain and divine anger that were released and resolved when Christ accomplished it. Another goal for the next half hour is to achieve some understanding of the glorious meaning for us here of the pain and suffering of Christ. 700 years before Calvary happened, it was described in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, a portion which is deliberately omitted in the consecutive readings from the prophets in Jewish synagogues, because in it, the prophet writes in verse 4, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was rejected by God. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by him because God treated him as if the sin he was bearing were his own. All the effects of human sin, mine, were on him. All the violence ever committed by any human being on any other throughout all past, present, and future history was experienced by the Lord Jesus. He was God. He is God. He didn't cease to be God when he became man in our likeness. And in his infinity, he endured all the effects of the evil that we have created. I want to give a very brief catalog of the violence that the Lord Jesus endured. In ancient times, when God first made revelation of himself as the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, to a people whom by his grace he chose to reveal that revelation. Human sacrifice was universally practiced among all the civilizations. This was done victimizing the very offspring of the worshippers of the idols whom they thought demanded this sacrifice. In a way that I don't choose to describe now, those children were burned to death because their parents were deceived into thinking that they were doing a good thing. This was practiced in the Middle East, in the Far East, and in this hemisphere from ancient times. The successive conquests of four ancient empires, Babylonia, the Medo-Persian Empire, Greece, and Rome, all of these empires, each of which lasted for several centuries, were built and sustained by pitiless violence. The spread of Islam through violent conquest created an empire that stretched from northern Spain to India. People who did not embrace that faith were simply slaughtered. In the beginning, Jews and Christians were spared from death if they didn't convert, but eventually this exemption was lifted. In the Crusades, which must have been one of the things that hurt God most of all and made him most angry, so-called Christians of Western Europe wrested the possession of the Holy Land from the Muslims through pitiless violence. Later, the Inquisition, part of it contemporary with the Crusades, was the attempt by the Roman Catholic Church to stamp out all heresy through torture and murder. And this lasted for 500 or 600 years. Modern slavery, spawned by the Industrial Revolution during the 18th and 19th centuries in a form more violent and more pitiless than any conceived in the earlier times of the Greek and Roman empires, tore men and women from their families and carried them to a place that permanently separated them from their beginnings. The Holocaust. 6 million Jews, plus 3 million other Europeans, slaughtered in German concentration camps by people who looked like me and who spoke the same language that was spoken in my home during my childhood, created this violence. And in our own time, more recently, Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court case resulting in the legalization of abortion in 1973, has thus far reaped the bitter harvest of more than 30 million Americans killed before they had a chance to be born. All the wars of history, all the violence of colonization by Europeans of Africa, Asia, and the Americas was experienced by the Lord Jesus on the cross. That's physical violence. There is emotional violence that you and I have sometimes practiced. Cutting words said to our loved ones, betrayal of their trust. Spouses who speak destructively to each other. Violence to children who never asked to be born, but increasingly in our time considered their existence considered a nuisance by the people who conceived them in undisciplined lust, unsanctified by marriage. In 1960, 8% of Americans were born out of wedlock. We have made progress. In 1991, the figure rose to 30%. Children who are never affirmed by their parents and who are only spoken to by their dads to be scolded. Children who are abused physically with beatings and torture or by sexual violation, whose damage is almost impossible to repair. Every illness ever suffered by a human being and even by animals was experienced by the Lord Jesus on the cross. Every arthritic pain that my wife has felt in the last 24 years. Every psychological illness, all of it is the effect of sin. None of it would have ever happened if we had not created evil. All the causes of infection, the sickness caused by gluttony, addiction to toxic substances, genetic defects, the deterioration of old age, all of these result from sin. And all of it was experienced by the Lord Jesus. Psychological illness, which is no less debilitating, caused either by fear, which would never have existed if there had not been sin, because without sin, impossible for us to imagine, there would be nothing to fear. And moral illness, psychopathic psychological disease, which results in crime, is caused by a lack of sensitivity to other people's pain, all of which the Lord Jesus was infinitely sensitive to experience. The Lord Jesus felt all the sorrow of bereavement. He wept for every departed loved one. He felt all the pain, all the terror that any human being has ever felt. My respectability, our peace, were bought by his punishment, by the anger of God poured out on him. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him by his wounds. By his wounds we are healed. We already read it. Because Christ paid for human peace, it is a fact that every person who is in Christ has peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a fact that very often sin does not allow us to experience, even though it is irrefutably true for those who are in Christ. Experiencing the peace one has is a matter of trusting God instead of worrying. And our peace consists exactly in this, that for us, because of the Lord Jesus, it will eventually turn out right in the end. There is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. This is the ground of our peace. Because God, who Christ never ceased to be, is eternal and lives outside of the sphere of time, which encloses us and is the context of all our experience and all our memory and all our plans. Every disobedience to God that we commit now, every sin that we enact, was felt retroactively by the Lord Jesus on the cross. When he experienced this, he was in the realm of what was to him the completely unknown. He is God. He is altogether holy. But it is said of him in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The Lord Jesus achieved empathy, understanding of the human condition, because after God was unsuccessful in drawing us to himself because we despised his likeness in which he had created us, in the person of the Lord Jesus, he assumed our likeness and all our limitations, and he walked the dusty paths that people like us walked and slept on their hard beds and felt the heat and the thirst that they felt and sweat as they did. And in doing this, the all-knowing, omniscient God learned something that in his omniscience it was impossible for him to know. He learned obedience. There is no force in the universe greater than he that can impose power on him. But he made himself less than he is without abandoning being who he is. By experience, he learned what it is like to be as we are, except for sin. Although he experienced its temptation, the word is very plain on that in this same book, in chapter 4, And in so doing, He made our redemption possible. He cried out in protest at the pain that it caused him. And he objected in a loud voice to being left alone to do it. Because God the Father, of whom he was part, of whose essence he was a part, left him there alone, pouring out his wrath on him. He wants every person to benefit from the pain that he felt for us. It is not the will of God that any should perish. May no one here perish in the sin that the Lord Jesus died to save him from. And may we not add to this pain. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we can only say thank you because we have nothing more to say. And we accept that what you've done for us. In Jesus' name.